Hello, welcome to the Online Newbie Podcast. My name is Adrienne Dupree of the Online Newbie, and you can find me at theonlinenewbie.com. And my mission is to teach people in corporate America who want to get out of the rat race how to start an online business. And our guest today is Jeanette Cates. Hi, Jeanette. How are you?
I'm doing great, Adrienne. How are you?
I'm great. And I was trying to think about when I first got connected to you, and I actually don't remember how I actually found you, but I do know you were one of the first people that I started following online, and then I finally got to meet you a couple times at Armin Morin's events a few years ago, and then I really resonated with you because, you know, you were technical, and then I have a technical background as well.
Well, and I think, too, we're both coming from a professional background. So,
right.
You know, having worked in the business world, we really had a whole lot in common because not everybody has that background when they decide they're going to do an online business.
Right. And so that's why last summer I started thinking about, you know, I wanted to write a book. And so the Kindle version of Leave the Corporate World Behind is already out on Amazon. And it chronicles the journey of people who either were in corporate America and now have a full-time online business, who are still in the corporate world and have a part-time online business. And then, of course, Jeanette was a perfect match because she's kind of gone in and out of the corporate world a few times. And I was really honored when she agreed to write a chapter in the book. And so, Jeanette, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and your story?
Well, I like to say that I kind of came from the best of both worlds because I was really reared in an environment. My father was military, and so, of course, I came from a very strict, regimented background from that perspective. But on the other hand, my grandparents had their own bookkeeping and tax service. They had both a business downtown as well as a home office, and so I was – in between assignments in the military, we always went back to stay with my grandparents. So I had the opportunity to see what it was like in both sides of both the business type world as well as in the environment where you're self-employed. And I really fell in love with the concept of being self-employed. I loved the aspect of the bookkeeping. And, of course, I grew up in the office playing with all the office equipment and stuff like that. My grandfather, one of his favorite clients I always like to talk about, he had a truck stop. And so I'd go with him out to pick up all the materials from the truck stop for their bookkeeping. But then I was the one in charge of sorting the receipts because almost all of them had syrup on them. So coming out of the truck stop, there was a real mess in the receipts. And so back those days, you had to sort all the receipts. There wasn't this automatic accounting going on at the cash register stuff. It was paper receipts that we were tearing apart in order to try and sort them into different piles. So I had some really fond memories of that whole aspect. I actually decided that I'd go ahead and go to college, and I got an accounting degree, which seemed logical to me at the time, and I was hired into Arthur Andersen in their Houston office. I was one of only two women who was hired by Arthur Andersen that year. It seems almost inconceivable now that only two women out of 300 auditors were hired that year, but at that point, women were not doing accounting and auditing in particular. They could do the in-office accounting, but they weren't sent out into the field with the auditors. So we were very few and far between in the audit office. Of course, I also figured out that very quickly I didn't like auditing. So I had to figure out a way out of that. So I think that's one of the first lessons that I learned is that you want to get experience in a field before you train for it. And I think that's one of the reasons I think your book is so helpful, Adrienne, is because when people are thinking about, okay, I've got a corporate job and I'm not really liking what I'm doing, and I think I'll just, you know, leave and go set up an online business. It's so important to do that on a part-time basis to begin with, to find out, do you like the things that are involved with an online marketing aspect? Because it really does come down to marketing. And so many people who are trained for professions or are working in a corporate environment have no marketing experience whatsoever. But if you can't market, you're not going to be able to be too successful online, because it all comes back down to if you can't get the word out, nobody knows what it is that you're doing. So I think that would be the first lesson I'd want to share with people is make sure you're getting experience before you make the jump. That is a really important aspect to it.
I would agree, because even if you're in a corporate, I'm in program management, so I work on proposals, but that's a little different. Like, I'm not the person, you know, going out and knocking on the doors. I mean, that's the business development people, which is similar to marketing. And, you know, especially, you know, most of the time in college, unless you have, you know, your marketing degree, that's, you don't have that skill set at all. And it can be kind of difficult.
Well,
know.
It's a whole new set of skills.
Right.
And I've often said that those people, if you've been educated in the Western educational system, we don't do a lot of actual work in our system. So, for example, if you go through and get your high school diploma, you learned a lot of academic stuff in the classroom, but at no point did somebody turn around and say, okay, now you need to do this and show me
right.
that you can actually do the things that you just learned in the classroom. Then we go to a college, and we find out that we have more great academic training. Occasionally you'll find a profession, perhaps chemistry, I think of often, where you might actually apply some of those skills, but still you're not really applying what it is that you're learning. In an online business, you have to actually do it. You can't just read about it. And that's one of the biggest failures I see with people coming online, particularly if they've been well-educated, is that they become a student of online business. They know everything there is to know about online business, but they're not actually doing anything. They're still waiting for somebody to confer the degree on them and say, bless, you are now an official online business expert. Now go and do something. So I think that, again, would be something I would want to share with people is you have to actually do it. Don't just learn it.
Yeah, I mean, I fell into that trap because I think the more education, especially if, you know, you're an analytical or technical person, you feel like I have to know everything before I can start. And so you feel real uncomfortable just saying, okay, I know enough, let's just get started.
Well, that and the other thing that because of our system, we're taught to do exactly that, to analyze. Never do you just accept what the teacher says and accept that one position. Instead, you want to look at three or four different positions
right.
and then create your own model. So, you know, guess how I learned all of this? I created my own model. I mean, it had three major systems, and it had 17 layers, and it had, oh, it's a very involved model. In fact, I have probably 40 or 50 pages of my model written and developed. Turns
wow.
out that actually doing it, that forget the model. Just go do. Choose one person and go do.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the other things that I know that deters people in the corporate world from taking that leap of faith and, you know, starting their own business is fear. So did you have any fear? And if you did, how did you overcome it?
You know, initially I didn't have any fear. I think perhaps it was a bit of a naive perspective. I just assumed that I could do that like I could everything else. And I happened to be very lucky at the time that I really came online full time because we were literally pioneers. We were making it up as we went. So anytime you did something that was slightly new, everybody fell all over themselves to, you know, do it right along with you. So, for example, when I offered my first online 12-week teleseminar course, I mean, I had people registering like mad because they'd never had a 12-week internet marketing online course. So it was one of those things where I didn't really have to do a lot of marketing. All I had to do was say, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And everybody said, oh, my gosh, that is so cool. I've never heard of that before. Let me do that. So it was really easy for those things. I find now the competition is incredibly escalated to what it was. And, of course, a lot of people have found out how nice it is to have an online business, and so more and more people have entered the marketplace. And the whole marketplace is elevated in terms of sophistication, the number of things that people are doing, the breadth of the area that they're reaching. You have to remember, back when I got started, my first online site was created in 1996. So in 1996, 97, yeah, I mean, people listening to this are not that old. So, it was all new. And so when everything was all new, everybody was excited about everything. We shared a lot of information with other people on a very free basis because nobody figured out how to charge. They hadn't invented PayPal. A merchant account was only something that big businesses could get. So it was a very, very different perspective. And I look now and I'm thinking, wow, I would have to work a whole lot harder to be successful now.
Yeah, so how did you charge people? I'm curious about that.
Oh, we had them sit checks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we didn't have any online payments. So until you had a big enough business or a steady enough business that you could actually get a merchant account, and I mean,
right.
Those of us who had merchant accounts were fairly few and far between. I don't think I had my first merchant account until probably 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So someplace around there I was able to start charging online, but prior to that time, people sent checks.
Okay.
I know. It's very different.
Yeah, very different. So, Jeanette, I think, like you said, the way that we're taught in the Western world, we're taught, you know, to go to school, get a good job, you know, those types of things. And if you're going to be a successful entrepreneur, I think you really have to have a different kind of mindset. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think there are some skills that entrepreneurs have, but I want to also encourage people to think like an entrepreneur, even if they happen to be in a job right now. Because one of the things that, you know, we used to assume that you'd come out of college, you'd get a job with a company, you'd stay with them for 35, 40 years, and then you'd retire. We also assumed that you would get a job and do the same thing for about 35 or 40 years, and then you'd retire. But the fact of the matter is you're not going to work for the same company for that long. You're not going to retire with them. It doesn't become necessarily a guaranteed income anymore. Many people have been laid off in some of the economic issues that we've seen. Many people have found that they've been downsized, or for one reason or another, they've found that they've been replaced by technology. So people have to be a lot more flexible, and they have to look upon their career as a very entrepreneurial thing. And I think that was one of the advantages that I had, was that I considered myself an entrepreneur, I guess, all the way along. So even though I was going in and out of jobs, I always considered myself kind of a free agent. I choose to work at this job for a while. Okay, now I choose to work for myself for a while. Now it would be fun to do this job for a while, so I'll do that for a while, and now I'll go back out on my own. So I think people need to begin to get that entrepreneurial mindset right from the beginning and think in terms of, okay, this job is something that I choose to do right now. My next thing is going to be such and such, and I'm going to start educating myself and working toward that right now. They say that the average person has 7 different professions or careers now because our jobs change. We used to say, okay, you're going to be an accountant, and accounting was the same year after year after year. Well, it no longer is. Everything changes. All the job descriptions change. All the job functions change. We've seen a consolidation of a whole lot of roles under a single job. So where you used to have 6 people doing something, now you have 1 person doing what 6 people used to do. So you have to become more flexible. And all of those characteristics are things that you use in the entrepreneurial world. You're looking out for yourself. You're looking at how do you profit, what is your next move, and you actually become a lot more proactive in taking those steps rather than waiting until the job is gone and then you say, oh, gosh, I've got to go find another job. Instead, you're looking ahead and you're saying, hey, things are getting a little tight around here. Let me be proactive in terms of thinking about what I want to do. Even if I want to look for another job and I want to stick here as long as I possibly can, let me begin to think, what would I do in the interim? Because we know that a lot of people don't get another job the next week. They may live on unemployment for 5 or 6 months while they're looking for another job. Well, could you also have a little side business over here on the side online? And that's something that kind of keeps you going, both in terms of interest and motivation, and keeps your hand in the game while you're in between other jobs that you're working for somebody else.
going with that, let's say someone did get laid off and they are in between jobs, what do you think is the minimum they would need to do in order to get started online?
Well, you've got to have a website. We know that you want to have a website. I believe that everybody, regardless of whether they're working for somebody else or not, needs to have one website that is their website. If you can get your name, that's ideal. If you can't, then find one of your hobbies. I have one of my hobbies that happens to be squirrels, so I have, you know, just a fun site about squirrels. But it gets you the experience of having a website, knowing that you have to renew that website every year, knowing something about that you're paying hosting for putting that website online, learning how to work with things. So it really can start out as a hobby site, but it's at least something that you can go back to. Now, if I were just looking and I thought, okay, I just got laid off and I'm looking for another job in that same profession, I probably would do affiliate marketing. So affiliate marketing is where you're recommending that people do, that they purchase or they look at other products that you already like. And I think one of the easiest ways to do that is using like social media, like Facebook, and telling people about the things that you buy on Amazon. So almost all of us buy stuff on Amazon. It's a very accepted place to buy things. In fact, I just saw the other day that Walmart is challenging them now for online sales. So, you know, if you could become like an affiliate for Walmart, that might be a good alternative. So, you know, if everybody else is promoting Amazon, you might think about promoting Walmart items. But you just start talking to people about the things that you're already doing. And I think that's by far the easiest. A little bit of article marketing in there where, you know, you're writing some articles or maybe even writing product reviews on Amazon about the products that you've already bought. So they don't have to be something you just bought this week. It'd be something you bought last year because Amazon keeps track of everything you ever bought. And by writing reviews, one of the things that you'll find is people will want you to write other reviews. So that's one way to do it. I would also think that doing interviews. Now, I don't know whether I even included this in the book, but let me tell you about something that I did when I first moved to Austin that turned out to be incredibly valuable, and you could duplicate that online. I went looking for a job, didn't find one right away, and so one of the things that someone suggested to me, I don't even remember who now, but she said, why don't you interview some of the women who are the movers and shakers here in Austin and find out, you know, just do informational interviews about how did they get started, how did they get their profession, how did they start in that particular profession, what drew them to Austin, are they native Austinites, et cetera. So I found that, and remember, this was back in 1980, so this was very early on, both in the development of Austin. We only had 350,000 people at that time. We have over a million now. And it was also at the time when women were starting to take over some larger corporate jobs. So I contacted some of the women that I read about in the newspaper. And what I found was many of them were very open to doing an information interview with me for, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. So I set up appointments. I actually at that time went in person and visited with each of them. Well, one of the things that that did was that it immediately raised my visibility. So there were a whole lot of movers and shakers among women who knew that I was in town. They'd never heard of Jeanette Cates before that, but all of a sudden, several of them knew Jeanette Cates. It also associated my name with their name. Now, I didn't publish those interviews, silly me, any place, but it would have been something would be very interesting to have put into a small book or something like that. If I were doing that now in the online world, I would again go back to the movers and shakers in the industry in which I want to work, tell them that I'm putting together an interview series, and set up appointments for a 15-minute telephone interview with the movers and shakers in the industry that I want to work in. Then I would turn around and use those interviews perhaps in a book or a Kindle book or something where I could leverage that, give them a little bit more visibility, perhaps send them a printed copy of the book. You could do that easily on CreateSpace. Send them a printed copy of their interview in print. Not only would that get you experience in doing interviews, but in doing teleseminars, it would get you higher visibility in that industry. Plus, it gives you something to write about and talk about in terms of what are the common characteristics you're seeing, all sorts of things that you could do with that information. in terms of moving toward your next career move as well as being kind of temporarily unemployed.
So that's a great advice. So what did you do with those interviews?
I use them for my own information. Back then, it never even occurred to me to publish them anywhere. But I mean, I ended up, now everybody who knows me is going to laugh about this, I ended up on the front of the food section of the newspaper. Because I did an interview with Kitty Kreider, who was at that time the food editor for the Austin American Statesman, and she found out that I had bought a computer program to store my recipes. Now, this was in 1981, so this was really early on. And
yes.
So she brought her photographer and came over and interviewed me in my kitchen with my computer in the background, and then there's a full-color photo of me on the front of the food section.
Oh, wow.
I know. Yeah. No, things like that. Turns out later on, several of the people, I mean, tonight one of the women that I interviewed at that time, Carol Thompson, is actually being honored as one of the movers and shakers in Austin. So, here we are 30 years, 35 years later, and these people are still the movers and shakers in Austin.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and those connections still exist. So it was probably one of the most insightful things that I ever did, and I have forgotten to talk about that for a really long time.
One thing that, especially depending on, your background or your family or your friends, when you tell someone that, hey, I want to leave corporate America and I'm going to start my own business, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, a lot of people will look at you and say, well, what's wrong with you? Why would you leave your career?
Why would you leave a perfectly good job?
Yeah. So what advice would you give people to kind of counteract that sentiment from people?
I was really lucky because I really didn't encounter that. My family thought I was a little nuts, but they didn't really criticize or try to sabotage me. But I do know people who have had that problem where they're constantly criticized by their family because they're not bringing in as much money as they were. They don't understand what it is that they're doing all day. They say, well, I don't understand why you couldn't get the laundry done because you're just here at home all day, that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So it's one of those things where you have to know in your heart that this is the right thing for you, and then you've got to find some other people who support you. I think you and I have found a lot of support, Adrienne, at different conferences.
Yes.
That's where we go to hang out with the people who end up supporting us in the direction that we're going as self-employed online entrepreneurs. So you've got to find some like-minded people. I'm a huge proponent of live events. It doesn't matter whether it's a local live event. There are probably some meetups. There are probably some just local conferences you could attend, some local meetings you could attend, something where you can find some like-minded people that you could hang out with and have lunch with maybe once a week or once a month, something you might have a group of you who have a weekly telephone call where you just check in for 10 minutes each and say, here's what I'm working on, here's the help that I need, and, find out that you're not nuts, that there are other people out there doing the same thing. They're running into exactly the same problems you're having. I find a lot of help on Facebook. So not generally from my actual Facebook friends, per se, because a lot of those are personal friends and, family. Where I find it is in a particular user group. So if you can find a lot of times I'll take a course, and it will have a user group included with that course, and it's a private group on Facebook. So I have found those incredibly valuable because they're going through exactly the same course you are. They're going through exactly the same learning process, the same challenges you are. And so there's a lot of support within those individual groups that are focused on a particular project for a period of time.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, there's lots of support now. So I'm sure maybe when you started, you didn't probably have that level of support. So,
well, that's we had to go to live conferences. I mean, at
right.
one time, I would attend 10 to 12 conferences per year.
Wow, that's a lot. That's like
I was traveling a whole lot. But on the other hand, I had an advantage because I was a woman. And when I first started going to conferences, you know, generally 4 to 5% of the room would be women. All the rest were men. So we kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. We weren't included mm-hmm. in any invitations. We weren't included in any lunches or dinners or anything. We all bonded pretty well. And then, of course, as the number of women continued to grow, I automatically was seen as one of the pioneers and therefore one of the leaders. And then all of a sudden the guys recognized, you know, that there's a leader there. And so I started getting invited to the things that the guys were doing and to the speaker dinners and on the stage and all that kind of stuff. So it was a progression over time. But had I not gone to all those live events, all the people that I know now wouldn't have known who I was. I might have been a number or a name on their subscriber list, but they wouldn't actually know me. But the number of hours and weeks and days that I put into building my visibility in the industry really paid off later on when I said, hey, I want you to promote such and such, or I'd love to do a webinar for you, or I'd love to have you do a webinar for me, or come let me interview you, or something like that. The connection was already there because we knew each other on a face-to-face basis. And still, even on Facebook now, the people that I talk to the most on Facebook are people I know face-to-face.
Right, right. Jeanette, if you had to give just one or two pieces of parting advice who's for someone who wants to leave corporate America and start an online business, what would you tell them?
I think number one is to find one person to follow. Biggest mistake that I made and I see a lot of other people making is trying to do what three or four different people tell you, and then you get back into that research mode where you're saying, well, Bob told me to do this, but Sue told me to do this, and then Melinda told me to do this. Now, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? And then you start inventing your own model again. So find one person that you trust who's ahead of you in the game and follow what they tell you to do. So do exactly what they say. This is not a time to reinvent the wheel. This is not a time to create your own model. Just do exactly what they say. If they say go out and stand on your head for 3 minutes, go out and stand on your head for 3 minutes because there's a reason they're telling you to do that. Attend live events, actually, and learn to work at home. I just wrote a book on productivity pointers, 1 hour guide to productivity pointers, and in that I talk a lot about how to set up your home office, how to have the attitude that you actually are working at home instead of just visiting home or visiting your home office or playing around. And really pay attention to that because you're working there. I mean, this is your place of business. And just as you respect the place of business where you go to when you're working for somebody else, you have to do that same thing when you're working for yourself. And then always track what works. You don't know if you should keep doing it if you don't know whether or not it's working. So there has to be a tracking mechanism in there. You need to – I'm amazed how many people say, well, I just have my accountant do my books at the end of the year. Well, no, you need to be doing them at least monthly, if not weekly, because you need to know if is it working. Right. I literally, as I'm selling books, I literally check my book statistics every day. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that I know, did the marketing that I did last week pay off? Am I selling more books today than I sold yesterday? Or the day before or the week before, and the only way I know that is by checking my statistics. So you've got to track what's working. I keep them in a spreadsheet so I can tell you how many books I sold of each title every day because that's how I know what I'm doing is working.
Oh, that sounds like great advice. Now, what projects are you currently working on?
Well, I just published a free Kindle course. I found a lot of people were real confused about whether they should write a book on Kindle, how do you write a book on Kindle. And I love the Kindle format. I've done 9 books in the last 10 months. So I'm having a ball with this. It's a great way to get information out there. So I just published the free Kindle course over on Udemy, which is Udemy. It's called Kindle Success. So you just go to udemy.com and look for Kindle Success. Kindle Success Secrets, and then I just finished that book on productivity pointers. So those are my two most recent projects, and then, of course, I have a couple other things coming up as usual.
So is your goal, do you have a certain number of Kindle books that you want to publish for the year? Because that's a lot, 10.
Well, yeah, and I'm thinking I'd really like to do 12, but I'm coming up on the year anniversary, and I don't think I can crank out two more this month. I'm traveling a little bit, so I don't think I can get two more done. But to me, I'm writing them about one per month as an approximate number. And it's when and somebody said, well, how do you know what to write? It's like, well, when I have enough notes on something, I normally wake up in the morning and I say, oh, I'm going to write about such and such. And literally, if I do that, then it means that the whole idea is there. So I've already got the notes written down, and then I just start writing the book. So for me, one book per month is a very comfortable pace, not only for the writing, but also for the promotion. Because you've got to remember, you know, when you leave the corporate world, you've got to be the person who's doing the marketing. So you can't just write the book. You have to write the book, and then you have to promote the book. So two very different roles there. And I find that, you know, for me, writing the book is a lot more fun than promoting the book, but it's kind of the necessary evil in order to be able to write more books.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we think if you, like, write a book or create a product and it's good, that people just somehow find out about it and purchase it. But you're right.
It'll be old before they do, let me tell you. Don't wait around for it to happen.
Okay, well, Jeanette, how can people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about you?
Oh, the easiest place is just to go to my website at JeanetteCates.com, JeanetteCates.com. And then right there on the front page, I've got, like, the links to all my social media accounts as well. All my books are over at BooksByJeanette.com. So it's just an easy way for you to get in touch with me.
Okay. Well, Jeanette, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story. It was very interesting, very inspiring, one of the pioneers for online marketing, and also being a part of my book, Leave the Corporate World Behind. So if you want to read more about Jeanette, she has lots more to tell you, and a lot of it's in the book. You can just purchase the book on Amazon. Just go to search for Leave the Corporate World Behind. And once again, I want to thank you, Jeanette, for sharing your story.
Thank you. It's been an absolute joy.